us. Okay? Let's pray and then look into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this beautiful hour you have given to us. Yes, Lord, you are the one who leads us, guides us, and we pray that you would help us, that we know more, so that we can live a life which is pleasing to you. We thank you, O Father, for every provision you have made to us to know our living God. And I praise you. This afternoon, O Lord, speak to us. Help us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, it's been many years being in Pune. I did my PTI here at, what's that place? Kondwa. For NIBM Kondwa. You know, when I came here, Sam was studying class 5. Okay? I brought him here. We were at Bible Center for 1 year. And then the next 2 years, we were at NIBM. It was marvelous time of learning. And then from there, we moved to Nasik. So, familiar with Nasik? No one? Okay. A quiet place. Eh? It's not like Pune. You don't have that much of traffic noise. Okay. I want you come and see over that. It's a little hilly place. Kalyani was there, you know, for 3-4 years. Okay. So when they asked me to come over here, I said, you see, Nasik is a quiet place for the older people. And Pune is for, you know, young people. Okay. So then they said, no problem. Okay. You are young at heart, so you can come. So I'm here. Okay. Well, this morning, I want you to look at the Word of God. And I have picked up 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this has been going on my heart for the last 3 weeks. And I was meditating on this chapter. It's so wonderful. You know, it's a big one, 58 verses. And I was thinking, how am I going to summarize this in one sermon? It's difficult. But when we look at what is ahead of us, what is there in store for us, I am thrilled as we look into the scriptures. You know, so I picked up, I said, let's just summarize and then just get into the last few verses. Okay? And then this would be a homework for you to go back and study. Okay? Sometime back I was asking a group of people, asking them, what makes you to be fearful? What makes you? I want you to be, you know, speaking this. You know, we are absolutely free, no problem. Okay, what makes us to be afraid or fearful? Oh my, death. Oh yes, then college students, exams. Oh, now some. Going for interviews and then standing in the queues and then trying to get in. Will I get my job? Will I get my job? Then, and then what about sickness? Huh? Come on. You know, when we are sick and when somebody is sick at home. What is ahead of us? You know, we are just dealing with a couple who are very faithful, who are very loving, taking care of 90 children of, from the remotest of the place in the tribal belt. They bring them and then they take care of them in a hostel. And every Sunday we go there and help this this institution called NSM or Navajivan Seva Mandal. Couple who comes from a totally non-Christian background. They came to know the Lord and they want to serve God. And they are serving these people. And suddenly she is diagnosed with some cyst in her abdomen. And then it was removed again. After a year, again it has come up. Again they operated. Now the third operation. Again another cyst. And suddenly they said it could be malignant. And you know how it, she's just 40 years. It could be malignant. And you know, it broke our hearts. We went to that cancer hospital. And that day it was so troublesome day. But then as the tests went on, and they said, it's non-malignant. You know, what a great relief. And then, but it has to be operated. So they are going through those medical tests. Maybe by Tuesday when we go over there, then we will see when the dates for operation. So what I am trying to tell you is, when we go through times of difficulty, there are now, what is that you are scared of? And as he was telling, the final is death. All are afraid of that. But then Bible tells us something fascinating. Okay. Many a times, this present time is, we go and they said, please pray, brother. Please pray, brother. What happened? You know, I need a job. You know, fantastic. Then somebody comes and says, please pray, brother. Pray. You know, I'm writing an exam. You know, all through my year I didn't study, but now I have come. They don't say like that anyway. They don't say like that. But only they say, no, please, please pray. So that suddenly, you know, all the questions are, you know, I should know it and I should write it and I should get 100%. It's okay. Okay. But then there is the fear. But then in all this fear, how am I going to move forward? A day is going to come that this physical bodies will not be there. All of us, everyone who is born, would one day, you know, have to face that. Okay? So today I have picked up 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the whole chapter deals with, the resurrection. 2 weeks back, Good Friday, Easter, and then after the Easter service, we had another week. So we were going through this, this beautiful passages, looking at the Lord has gone to the Calvary and paying a price for us. And on the Easter day, the resurrection, there were wonderful songs of joy. Okay. But then, what does that mean to you and me? What does that have an effect on my life? Many a times we are worried about our lives. You know, life about, you know, what would be my future in this world. But then seldom we think about, after this, what's there? We're more worried about the present. But I want you to think about, what is life after this? And many people, they have come up and said, you know, you have another janma or another, life. You know? So, as you look at the scriptures, as you try to understand, Jesus went to the cross, died, but on the third day, he rose again. And what we call as resurrection day. Okay? And as he came out, now just for a moment, just imagine that we are in the shoes or in the place of those disciples. Just think about that. Okay, I was there. You know, he died on the cross and then they took him, buried him, and they were all, only John was there and only those three or four women were there inside. All the other things, they were scared and ran away. And they knew that they have buried, and it is, they said, come on, let's seal it. They have sealed it. Now, the Lord all through has been telling, I will come back. I will come back. But then, how? We were thinking he is going to be the king. We were thinking he is going to rule. We were thinking that we are going to rule with him. Now what happened? He is just put on the cross and he just died. Okay. But death had no power over him. You know, when he came to life, I do not know how it would have gone into their hearts looking at him. You know? But before that, we also know that Jesus brought many people to life. You agree? Okay? Okay. In Luke chapter 7, we'll just see these few verses. In Luke chapter 7, we see, and verse 14, you know, somebody can read also, you know, when you pick up these verses. Chapter 7, and here is a death of a son. Luke chapter 7 and verses 14. What is that? Okay. We see that the son of a widow in a town called Nain. In verse 14. Then he came up and touched the bear. The bearer stood still and he said to the young man, I say to you, arise. And in verse 13, he says, and when the Lord saw her, the mother, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Okay, here is the woman, the mother, only the mother. The child is dead, and as they are taking, he comes and he stops and says, do not weep. And to the one who is dead, he says, what did he say? I say to you, rise. And then he rises. The dead will not hear, but the dead will hear the voice of the Creator. Okay. Now in chapter 8, in chapter 8 and verse 40, we know this story, you know, Jairus, you know, he is there pleading, my daughter is sick, about to die, please come. And then as he moves along, there is another woman coming, and then in the delay, the daughter died. Okay. And they come and say, your daughter died. Don't disturb him. He's gone. He can't do anything. Then what does he say? Okay. In chapter 8. And if you look at verse 49. He He says, do not fear. Verse 50. What does he say? Do not fear. Okay? Do not fear. And then he brings back that girl to life. Okay? A son, a daughter. Okay, and then we also see in John chapter 11, the famous one, about whose story is that? John chapter 11. Lazarus story. Okay, Lazarus was dead and then he was for how many days? For 4 days. The news has come when he is sick. Lord, please come and heal. But then he didn't go there. 1, 2, 3, 4th day. Fourth day is telling, come, we'll have to go there. And Thomas is telling, oh, he has gone, let us also go and die with him. Okay. But then as he comes over, Mary is telling, oh, master, if you would have been there, my brother would not have died. If you believe. Okay, if you believe, your brother will. Yes, I know that one day he will be alive. One day he will come to. They want to teach Jesus. We are people like, you know, teaching Jesus what he should do, what he should not do. Okay? So, he says, he comes over and he says, you know, remove the stone. Remove the stone. I do not know if we would have been the spectators over there, what would have gone through us? Ye kya pagal ho gaya kya? What is he doing over here? You know, but you know, here is. He says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out with his all those clothes around him. He said, open it, you know, unclothe him, remove it, and then let him go out. But then we see all these people coming out of their dead. From their bodies were dead. But then, do we call them, they were resurrected? Do we call them, they were resurrected? I want you to answer me. Yes, no, all right. Huh? Do we call them resurrected? Because they died again. I was asked, somebody is telling like this, somebody is telling yes, no. You know, they were brought back to life and then another day they all died. Okay. And what do we call that? Rusticated? No. I wanted to learn that, how to pronounce it, and resuscitated. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. You know, they were brought back to life. And then in Larnaca in Cyprus, there is a tomb of Lazarus where it is written, Lazarus, whom Jesus brought back to life, died. Okay. The tomb is still there. But now, the tomb is closed one. But then you see something fascinating and different when Jesus died on the cross. When they have buried, you know, he on the third day, death could not hold him. Death had no power over him. On the third day as he came out. And later on, the angel came down. As the women have gone, they removed the stone so that they can see. They can see inside and say, hey, there's no one there. And all the disciples have gone in and saw, no one is there. And then his clothes. For Lazarus, they had to remove all those things. But for Jesus, you know, those clothes were nicely wrapped up and everything was kept there. And he has come out. And then in the evening, he meets all the disciples who were closed doors and then they were all struggling to see, what happened? I don't know. We do not know. You know. Mary Magdalene comes and tells, I seen Jesus. She must be mad. You know, this is how, you know, we take the things. And as Jesus walks in, they were all stunned. They want to worship him. He is resurrected. He has come to life. You know, not this ordinary flesh and blood, but, you know, a glorified body. Now I want you to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to show you. Chapter 15. In fact, it would be wonderful if we go through the whole chapter, but since we have, you know, time restrictions, we will see this last few verses where Apostle Paul is writing, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, my friends, you have the sheets with you. Okay. But then there, I want you to correct something in that, where it says, the passage tells us of four realities. Of the great triumph over death that builds, okay? B-U-I-L-D. D is missing there. Okay. A strong hope within. I do not know how that G has come over there. Okay. Within. To continue to live a life which benefits others. And I want you to look at this. I want you to see that in this passage, you have the reality of triumphant over what? You know, when we are sick, when we are going through different types of tests, whether it is cancer, whether it is something terrible, we are looking forward. What is the result? What is the result? And I said, no, it's not malignant. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh yes, there is a lot of excitement. When you go for an operation and then, you know, it is successful, you know, we are all very happy. But then, over death, what it is? When I know that, this is the time that I have to leave my body. And my body is going to lie over there. And in fact, the whole of chapter 15. You see, Corinthians, almost about 15, 20 years after the church at Corinthians has started. And people were gathering over. There was wonderful things happening there. You know, when the church leaders were praying, people were healed, and they have abandoned their whatever they were worshiping, and then they have started coming and joining. And as the church was increasing, as the people were increasing, there were also problems. You know, there were immorality over there. There was problems of different kinds in the church, and Apostle Paul is trying to correct them. And even as he comes over to chapter 15, there was a problem. Thinking that, you see, we do not know what happens to our bodies. We do not know. Yeah, it's good. We see something happening. It's good. You know, the moment I need a prayer request, I go there and I pray, and they pray for me and the whole church prays for me, I am fine. But then later on, what is going to happen, I do not know. So whatever is happening in this life is good. So why bother? You know, when I was a young fellow, when we were maybe 11th or 12th when we were studying, we had our youth group, one auntie used to take, and she always used to tell, no, don't bother in the Bible. When you read, just read something which is applicable to you. If it is helpful to you, you take it. Otherwise, don't take that. You know, you don't understand it, so you don't worry about it. Okay? So, it used to bother me. But then when I came to know the Lord later on, you know, I for one think that every word in the scripture is God-breathed one for the benefit of our lives. You know? As he tells us, it is not just for, you know, for our physical beings in this world. You know, we have something. The word of God tells us that it is not about just this life, but you have, because Jesus rose again, you will also have a glorified body. You will also see that flesh and blood is not all, but you will have a spiritual body. Then for what are my striving in this world? Do I have this longing? Lord, I want to have this experience. You know, this is how, when he comes, in the first few verses, he talks about Jesus being resurrected, Jesus coming back to life, and then he is assuring us and telling us that a time is going to come that you and I are also going to have that same glorified body. Okay, so I'm going to skip all the 49 verses. I want you to go back and read that 49 verses and try to study that one, and you will understand wonderful passages. But let's just look at this last 8 verses, 50 to 58 verses, where it talks about a great news. You know, verses 50, 51, 52. You see, why did I put that one? A great news. I tell you this, brothers. Then verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. You know what he's telling? Like, I want to tell you. You know, when there is some wonderful news, when there is some good news, you know, we would like to inform. We would like to tell. Hey, you're mistaken. I want to tell you the truth. I want to give you the whole truth. This is what Apostle Paul is telling. Hey, listen. You know, some of the people, you people have been misguided. In the earlier verses, he talks about that. But here again, he's telling. Brothers, you know, it's like a pleading. It's like urging them. I tell you, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then what? Nor the perishable. Okay? The perishable. This flesh. You look at that. The moment this life is gone, immediately we say, take it out. Till that time they'll call me Pastor Suresh. Okay? The moment this is gone, then it is body. You know, body. Hey, body ko nikalo bhai. Take it out. You know, we don't want to keep that body there. This will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, behold, I tell you a mystery. You know, the scriptures, the Bible is a progressive revelation of God. That is right from Genesis. Step by step, God has revealed his truth. And today you and me are the most, people who can understand everything about God. The people in the Old Testament didn't have the whole revelation. But even at this time, they didn't understand much. Because the whole, the book of God was not in their hands. And today, we are far better than the older people. And I said, I want to tell you a mystery. What is that? We all will not sleep. Then the question has come up. Okay, dead. But what about the people who are living? What is going to happen to them? We are all alive. And suddenly, what's going to happen? I said, we all will not sleep. But in a twinkling of an eye. What does that say? We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. My goodness. I was only thinking that in this life, whenever I go and, ask for prayer, whenever I am really in need, I go and say, please pray for me. And if I receive that one, I say, praise the Lord. If I don't receive, I say, what is this? God has not done. But then let me tell you, these are all temporary things. But the most beautiful thing is, a time is going to come in a twinkling. It's actually atomos, at the slightest of that. In those days, for them, the atom, was the smallest part. And later on, you have, some other things have been added. But in a fraction of a second, one day when he comes back and the trumpet is sounded. Now that is the news, great news, that you're not going to, our bodies are not perishing, but our bodies are changed from this flesh and blood to the glorious body. Even as Jesus Christ walked out of the grave, and as he walked into the room, this same body you will also have. That is why the resurrection of Christ is so important. We are going to participate in the Lord's table. Yes, in the Lord's table, we all remember that he went to the cross to die for us. We remember that he paid a price for us. But then, if he has paid a price for us, he is also going to give us a life, and an eternal life. It is not just going to be vanished by the external things. It is life for eternal. My friends, what an important news is this. When I have this news anchored in my life, when I am walking around, I said, hey, I am going to be with my Lord forever and ever. In John chapter 14 and verses, in John chapter 14, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, the last, on that day. This is the last time that the Lord is sitting with his disciples and he's telling, this night I'm going to be captured, I'm going to be taken away, I'm going to be, and you all will go, and you all will go away from me, you'll be scattered. And there was all kinds of discussions going on, Then look at that verses 1, onwards, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. I am going to come back. I am going to take you there. You know, there are many rooms. In some translation, it is told many mansions. Okay. Now, one thing is, in my father's house, there are many mansions. Can it be okay? Huh? Hey, look at this here. In my father's house, there are many mansions. No. It's many rooms. Okay, it cannot be. So somebody was telling my mansion will be big. Okay. Okay. It's the father's house. I do not know what type of room I am going to get. Okay. What it would be. You know. I don't know. But you know, he has gone there to prepare a place for us. And I do not know what type is going to say. Maybe Daniel is, you know, an architect, huh? Designer. I don't know what all the designs. But the best one, he is designing for you and for me. In 6 days, he created the whole creation. But 2,000 years have gone, he is still preparing a room for you and me. You know, my friends, what it is? This is what he has kept for us. This is what he wants us to long for it. This is what we, you know, our desire, our longing would be, Lord, I want to be with you. It's not about the temporal things. You know, we fight, we grapple, our thinking is only about the present things. But God is telling, Jesus talking to his disciples, you know, I am going there. And I'm preparing a place for you. I'll come back and I'm going to take you over there. Now, I want to ask you this question. Are you ready for that? Are you really ready for that? Okay. Now he moves on. We'll move on to the next one where it says, great news we have seen. Great victory. How does it go there? You know, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where it is written? Turn to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, 750 years, you know, before this has ever happened, Isaiah is penning down this same verse where he is writing. Isaiah chapter 25. If somebody has picked it up, we can read it from verse 8. Verse 8. Okay. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. He will swallow up death forever. You know this? This is what he is quoting here. What does he say? The saying, it then shall come to pass the saying that is written. It is already written. What is written? That death is swallowed up. Okay. Now, this is the victory. A great victory. What is the victory? You are looking forward. You know, we are all looking forward. You know, in exam I should, you know, be victorious. In my workplace I should be victorious. In every situation of life we are looking forward for something. We said, hey, I achieved it. Okay, but then I'm asking, what's the victory of life? Death is swallowed up, you know, is gone. It's not there. Then what's happening? You know, those who trust in Jesus, those who put their faith in him because he has paid a price, He went to the cross for you and for me, not for his sin. We all know that. He went to the cross and he died. The wages of sin is death. The wages, because I have committed sin and the what I have got out of it, what I have achieved out of is my death. My separation from God. Okay. But then Jesus has gone onto the cross to die for me, not for himself. But then since there is no sin in him, death cannot hold him. He has to rise up. Death is swallowed up. Now, I trust in him. I believe in him. You know, this I am inheriting. That this eternal glorified body, what he has promised. This is where it says that I am victorious even when I die. Okay. Great victory. You know, we think about these victories. People are talking about, you know, war. I served in Indian Air Force. Okay? I know when we go for a war, it's not an easy thing. You know, many of people don't even understand. Now, just now, you know, that bombing, the Pulmanwa, all these things. But really, a soldier, when he dressed up, when he dresses up and then takes his guns and then goes into the field, then you will understand. Okay? What is fear? When we were traveling to Sri Lanka, when Indian IPKF was there, and of course I was in Air Force and we were in passenger aircraft, you know. But when we were taking the troops into Sri Lanka, and when we were bringing back the injured soldiers or dead bodies of our soldiers, our officers, it was not an easy thing, okay? It was a scary thing. But then, we say, this is war going on. But the moment comes, the enemy has surrendered. The LTT people have surrendered. In Kargil war, the Pakistan has surrendered. You know, the moment the news comes up that they have surrendered, you know the joy? Victory. We won the victory. We are only more worried. What is that one? IPL. IPL or what? I forget that. You know, previously we used to go for this India versus Australia, but now we have all these things going on. People are stuck around the TVs and looking, and you know, we are more worried about these victories. And what? Yet every victory is joyous. But I want to talk to you about the victory over death. Are you ready for that? My friends, these are not things which are just on a superficial basis. These are the most important things for our lives. Victory over death. And I say, I am victorious. Why? Because I trust in Jesus. It's not about my life over here, but I'm looking forward for something I'm going to have. Okay. Then quickly, we have verse 55, 56, 57, where he talks about, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he breaks into the song of thanksgiving and joy. You know, that is why when we say, let's worship the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. We have nothing else to say. I thank you, Lord. You know, and this is the quotation, you know, Apostle Paul draws from the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 13. You know, Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. You look at that verse. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. Oh, death, you know, this is where Apostle Paul is quoting. This is a quote from the Old Testament. You know, even in the Old Testament, it is written that death would be defeated. And it will lose its power over you who trust in him. Okay. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. You know, we have a bee with a sting. We make sound. You saw it? Okay? And you know, we are scared of it. We are so scared of it. Why? You know, if it stings, then it really creates problem. You know, we were in Air Force, we were in a place called RC. That's in that time Bihar, now Jharkhand. You know, all forest area. And these bees would be so big. And suddenly, you know, suddenly they can attack you. And if they attack you, finish. There are sometimes people died. They would come and then just bite you, and then, you know, people will die on that. The sting is poisonous. Okay? But then, here, why is he bringing this? Yes, we are with the sin, born in sin, that sting is there in us, within us. And when I commit a sin, I am going against God. And then there is a law. God is a lawgiver. I have broken the law. And then my punishment is death. But then Jesus has broken that because he has taken the death. What a wonderful thing is this. Isn't, you know, when I am reading this, when I am trying to understand this, I can't say anything but say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? You have taken away this death from me. But then, can I continue in sin? You know, in Romans chapter 5 and 6, and you don't know, can I continue in sin? Oh, need no way. Shh, keep quiet. Don't continue in sin. When you have come to this understanding, be careful that you would say that I can do whatever I want. I can do. I cannot do what I want to do because I am born again. If I call myself as born again, if I say that one key, I believed in Jesus, this is what my life ought to be. Said, you know, I am victorious over sin. Okay, there is a joy within us. You know, sometimes I feel so sad. Some of our people who call themselves as, you know, born again Christians, you know, yaar, kuch nahi hua, yaar, I am praying, but nothing is happening. And we are so depressed. You know. Let me tell you, when I have Christ, there is joy in spite of the difficulties which are going on. Why? Because I know that one day when I shall see him, I will be like him. When I am in his presence, I am going to see him face to face, and there I am going to rejoice with him forever and ever. That is what is a Christian life. It's all right. My God is there with me, and he's not going to leave me, come whatever may be the situation. And finally, the last. You know, I want you to understand this. I'm just giving you, starters, you know, starter, you know? Before the big meal, we have starters. Okay? I'm just giving you a starters. Okay, but why? I want you to go back and study the Word of God. Many a times I get I am so elated with these things. And they say, my goodness, Lord, if you take me tonight, I'll be very happy. Because here are all miseries, you know. So many. And I don't want to tell you. Okay. But then, when I see him, I shall be like him. That is what my longing and my desire is. You know. But then, if that is the case, should we say that, okay, Baba, leave everything. Leave everything and take what do you call that one? In Nasik, you know, Nasik is known for a lot of these rishis and all these people will come with that. What do we call that? You know, a small thing and then going around Godavari River, leaving everything. Okay? Rishis with all the beard. Weird people. Okay. Now look at this. He's not talking about that. Look at verse 58. Verse 58. It talks about great work ahead. It talks about you have something great. What is there? Therefore, you know what you are going to be? You are going to be with the glorified Lord in glorified bodies. It's not about what is happening over in this world, but it is, this is what you are meant to be. You are called to be his own, living with him. Now, can I live what I want to be in the old fashion? Now look at this, what he says. Therefore, my beloved brothers. So he's not talking about no sisters. Huh? Beloved brothers. So no sisters are exempted. Naire Baba. When he says brothers, you know, this word burns all of us. Okay. Brothers and sisters. Okay. I'll add it. Okay. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Three things. Look at this very carefully. Three things. Be steadfast, immovable. Now, what does this say about? Steadfast and immovable. Okay? It is moving. It's shaking. Okay? Many a times in our Christian life, you know, as the circumstances changes, our trust in the Lord also changes. Okay? When things are going tough, we say, "Hey, the Lord is not doing anything." When things are going well, and, you know, I got promotion, things are going very well. Oh, fantastic. The Lord is answering my prayers. But here in every situation, he's talking about every situation. Steadfast. That means I trust in my God and my God is not going to leave me. Immovable. Then he goes on to say, the next one is, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding, that means always my focus, my attention is what am I going to do for my Lord? What, in which way I am going to be fruitful? In which way, what is it I would do that God may be glorified? Now I want you to think about this very carefully. Where do you stand? Where is your life? You know, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not vain. You know, when I do something, when my heart, when my mind, when my desire, when my longing is I want to glorify God through my life. Well, I am not a preacher, sir. I am not a preacher. I am not an ordinary person. You know, wherever I am, whichever situation I am, do you think that, hey, my life, will it bring glory to God? You know, my example, the way I live in my office, the way I behave with my people, the way I am living, my talk. You know, we have so many examples, but we don't have time. But I want you to think about this. In the last, maybe in the last 1 month, last 1 week, last any time, where is it or when is it that somebody has said, hey, you are different? Because I see godliness and Christ-likeness in your life. Can somebody come and tell you, I see something different in your life? You know, my friends, you know, my life is going to reflect whom I am believing. My life is going to show who my God is. That is what God wants. You know, I just want to tell you a small incident in my own life, and then I'm going to close it. You know, I love my father. My dad is a wonderful man. He is such a loving man that we children used to love him so much. But when he was maybe around 80 years, a time has come where he was having heart attack. He was having pain. We both were going for our workplaces, and suddenly he says, "You know, my chest is paining." Many a times he had this one, so I was, you know, not very sure, but still I said, come, let's take it. You know, we put him in an auto, and then quite a distance, we took him to our hospital. Immediately they put him in the ICU, and then collapsed. And then they put that, what do you call that, shock, and then he revived, came to life. And let me tell you, the next 2 days, maybe about 20 times he had this attack. And they said, he's gone. You know, but you know, I was sitting outside. The second day, it was so terrible. I couldn't hold it. I ran outside. I started weeping. And I said, Lord, I want my father to live for some more time. He's a wonderful man. I don't want him to die now. So, crying, praying, and then a time has come, my tears dried up. What should I pray? It's almost 20 times, and then they said, we have given him so many shocks, he cannot live. As they were treating him inside, I was sitting down, and I was praying outside, you know, and I didn't know what to do. That is the time I had my Bible in my hand. I opened it. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. This is not some, something. But here is me in my, in my pain, crying, sitting outside an ICU ward, my dad who is going through these problems. You know, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he also searches hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, my friends, what it is? Here is. When I don't even know what to pray, I said, Lord, I can't even pray. Now here is, when you do not know how even to pray, this is what our God does for us. The Spirit helps us. You know, and He prays for us. He prays with us. Pleads for us. You know, my friends, what it is? To be a Christian, to be knowing your God, that He is involved in every situation of your life. Now I want to ask you, how much are you involved in exalting Him? I want to ask you that if you say that I trust in God, I trust in Jesus, then how is your life? That's what He's telling. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. In what? No. In serving the Lord. In what? In being an example. Now, my friends, don't tell me, you know, I would live my own life and, you know, God can, you know, God has to do His own things. I believe, and then, you know, rest of the things He can do. I want to tell you this. If you call yourself a Christian, it is mandatory for me. You know, we participate in the Lord's table. When we participate in the Lord's table, you know, you say, Lord, You not only died for me, but You are going to come back to take me to be with You. But, you know, I want to live for You. I want to live for You. And I want to, you know, even as I take this with great gratitude in my heart, with longing that one day I am going to have a body, a resurrected body, even as Jesus Christ. Nothing less than that. To be with Him in His mansion. With Him. Is this your desire? You know? Is this your longing? But God wants us this. You know, that's why He says, you know, your labor will not be in vain. You work, God is not going to leave you. Come, let's pray. I want everyone to bow down. And I want everyone that this time that you would give your hearts to the Lord. And you tell Him, Lord, help me to love You. Because I see one day I'll be with You. But I want to prepare myself. I want to have a life which would please You. I want to love You. Please tell Him, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. Father, I thank You for this beautiful time You have given to us to meditate on Your word, to understand what is laid out for us. Even now, Father, we commit ourselves to You, and may Your blessing be upon us. Help us, O Lord, that we would live a life which would please You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we're going to have the communion. So I'll continue. Okay. I want you to turn with me to, you know, a familiar